أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Verses 54 onwards إن هذا لرزقنا ما له من نفاد هذا وإن للطاغين لشر مآب جهنم يسلونها فبئس المهاد هذا فليذوقه حميم وغساق وآخر من شكله أزواج. After describing the station of the pious in paradise, and after saying this is indeed our provision which will never be exhausted, then we turn in this surah to the fate of Taghin, the rebellious, about whom we explained a little bit last week. Then there is a description of the hell, of course an aspect of the hell, because in the hell we would have different aspects of torments that are discussed in different verses of the Quran. Here two aspects are mentioned that we would cover shortly, inshallah. So there is a very bad destination for the rebellious, and that is the hell, jahannama yaslawnaha fabi'sa al-mahad, an evil resting place. And last week I said that mahad is a place where you rest, although in jahannam you have no rest. It's just a type of language used by the Quran ironically, saying that of course you are all looking for a resting place. If you want to find it in the next world, despite all your rebellious attitude, then that resting place would be hell. Now, in the hell there is a life, but a life which is more like death. In a surah of the Quran it is mentioned that the hell is a place where you live, but the life is more like death than life. However, it's not death to be relieved of all pains. It is a death which is full of pain and torment. لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا, as is explained about a person who enters the hell. He does not die there and he does not live there. It is a life, but a life which is the quality of which is something more like only torment than having pleasures of a life that we understand from the meaning of life. Now, in paradise we said that we have a physical life and physical pleasures, certainly, and spiritual life and spiritual pleasures. Also, in paradise, if you remember, we had some sort of psychological pleasures, social pleasures, which, of course, we enjoyed the company of our mu'minun friends, which are now exactly like brothers. إِخْوَانٌ عَلَىٰ سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. They are brothers sitting on coaches, talking to each other. In the hell, we have a reflection of those aspects, however, all in torment and difficulty. There is a physical life there, but that physical life is all torment, trouble, and hardship. There is a spiritual life there, but that spiritual life is marked by distance from God, being veiled from Him, and always trying to get some sort of response from Him. That's why you hear in the verses of the Quran that people of hell all the time call their Lord, Rabbana akhrijna minha, our Lord, let us go out of this. Or they call Him for death to just relieve Him of all those difficulties and hardship. So this is, we call this spiritual life, but it's a spiritual death actually. It's very difficult to describe this, whether this is death or it's life. And the description of the Quran is very much in place. لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. There is no death, no life. Something in between, which gives the possibility of torment, but no pleasure of life is there. So that's the type of a spiritual life that they have there. And also there is a psychological type of nature of that life. And that is exactly the opposite of what we had in paradise. The brotherly love which existed between the inhabitants of paradise here is changed into animosity and a hatred which fills the whole soul of every person in paradise towards the others. Now, here in this surah, two aspects are mentioned about the life in the hell. One is a part of their physical life. The sustenance, the provision that they have in hell, which although it's a provision, but it's not a provision to upkeep the person. More, although it upkeeps him, but more to torment and torture him. And also a psychological attitude of the soul in the hell, which comes through that animosity and hatred. These two aspects are mentioned here. Now, so that resting place is an evil resting place. Hada. Now, of course, if you want me to explain for you what type of resting place is that, فَلْيَذُوقُوهُ حَمِيمٌ وَغَسَّاقٌ. Let them taste it. Or they have to taste it. They have no other choice but tasting what comes in the hell. حَمِيمٌ وَغَسَّاقٌ. حَمِيم is hot water, scalding water. وَغَسَّاقٌ is pus, and the type of very hateful material which we can say in this world coming out of the wounds and something like that. And probably what happens, the people of hell, one of the nourishments that they would have is just nourishing themselves by the pus coming out of their own wounds. Not certainly out of the wound of other people, because they are like acrimonious enemies. They never can get close to each other, because if they get close to each other, they start to punch and beat each other, and that's why they are mostly chained. And this fact of being chained in hell is probably something from keeping them a little away from each other, so that they don't tear each other into pieces all the time with that animosity that they have towards each other. It's not imaginable what type of life that would be. You don't have any personal pleasure, you don't have any social pleasure, you don't have any relationship which gives you any type of pleasure, and you call your Lord and no answer will come. You call, sometimes it's said that out of disappointment and out of distress, these people would seek refuge to the angels who are there appointed to torture them and to punish them and ask them to do something for their situation, which of course, again, the response is negative, because these angels say, if your Lord wants you to be here, what can we do about it? Now, this drink and food that they have here, هذا فليذوقوه حميم وغساق. Let them taste it, scalding water and pus. Or فليذوقوه, they must taste it, because they need to taste it. They need to drink and they need to eat. They have to do it. Probably we are not forcing them to eat or drink that, but it's the physical urge, the hunger and the taste that urges them to eat from the pus of their own wounds, and also from the hot water which is there. There are other types of foods which are mentioned that could be found in that very, very dry and arid plain of the hell, because it's a vast area in which we don't know where it is placed. Probably somewhere in the center of the earth, somewhere under the paradise probably. It's very difficult to establish where the hell is, because Allah mentions in the Quran that the paradise covers, or the expanse of paradise, is as big as the whole earth and heavens, all the universe. أَرْضُهَا كَأَرْضَ السَّمَاوَاتِ كَأَرْضَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. It's as vast as heavens and the earth. So the description given about the hell being in a deep valley covered by black smoke gives us the idea that it should be somewhere under, not over the plane of earth. And that place is, of course, a place with very, very hot atmosphere. The Samum and Wahamim, as it's mentioned in Surah Waqi'ah, Samum is the hot wind that, due to its warmth and hotness, penetrates under the skin, so that the flesh under the skin gets hot when that wind blows. And this type of wind was known in Arabia very much, and people protected themselves from that wind by the dress and clothes that they covered themselves, even their head, their face, their body. And one sometimes is surprised why in that hot weather people covered themselves with all those clothes. Probably because they didn't want that samum to penetrate under their skin, to go into the flesh, to actually give them that sense of restlessness due to heat. However, Allah says, in the hell they have fi samumen. It's always that. The weather is always like that. It's samum. It's that hot wind penetrating under the skin. And of course, hamim. Water is not found there, but the fountains or springs of hot water that they have to go and find for themselves and drink from it. And of course, the type of dress that they have would increase that hotness. The tar-like thing which covers their body, which is used as their dress, is again something which increases the heat of that weather. And of course, the whole area is covered by black smoke, which, as is explained in Surah Waqi'ah, في سموم وحميم وذل من يحموم, a shade. They are under a shade of a black smoke. يحموم is black smoke. And of course, the idea of shade, the idea of something covering you from sun, would give the sense of coolness. But the next verse negates that. لا بارد ولا كريم. Of course, no coolness is in that shade, under that shade, because the shade itself produces heat because it's black smoke. And also, there is no benefit in that. There is only harm in that. And that makes the whole atmosphere very gloomy, very dark, and something that you never would like to live in, not seeing the shining of the sun, not seeing the light, not seeing the brightness of the environment, and that very hot weather. So in that very difficult atmosphere, then you have to find water to drink. And of course, this hot water is something that people would willingly or unwillingly resort to give them some sort of comfort from that weather and from the food that they eat. Now, in that arid and barren plain, as I mentioned, and with that type of weather, there are some sort of plants which are sources of nutrition for the people of the hell. The reason why they eat or drink this ghassaq or ghassleen, which is mentioned again, when they wash their wounds. Ghassleen is the water which is gathered after you wash something. So when they wash their wounds, there is some sort of nutritious liquid there that they drink from it to somehow run away or to escape from eating those very, very awkward food that they can find there. And that is two different things which are mentioned are there. One is zari' and the other is zaqum. Zari, we don't know in which areas of hell this Zari is found. It's mentioned in Surah Ghashiya. لَيْسَ لَهُمْ تَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ زَرِي. There is no food for them but from Zari. And Zari is a thorny type of plant which has little nutritious benefits, but very hard to eat, and this is what they do eat because of the urge of hunger. لَيْسَ لَهُمْ تَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ ذَرِي لَا يُسْمِنْ وَلَا يُغْنِي مِنْ جُو. It's just like a fruit that the nutritious benefit of it is so little that they never get fat by eating it. It means that it doesn't have much benefit in it. And of course they eat and eat and eat, but it would not keep them from hunger. It means that there is that urge of hunger always driving them to eat something. Urge of thirst always driving them to drink something. However, they go and eat from Zari, but this is la yusmin wa la yughni minju. It wouldn't have any benefit in it to make them fat, and it wouldn't stop them from feeling hungry. So they seek for other nutritious or for other types of food. Well, one type of food is just to satisfy themselves by eating or drinking from the things coming out of their wombs. And the other one, which is mentioned very much in the Quran, something probably found everywhere in hell, is a type of fruit which is disgusting in terms of appearance and disgusting in terms of taste and disgusting in terms of digestion and the other difficulties that creates later on in the stomach. And that is, of course, the fruit of Shajaratul Zaqqum, which is mentioned in many different places of the Quran, the tree of Zaqqum. Of course, we don't know what Zaqqum means, what type of tree or what type of fruit it is, but it is mentioned in some places in the Quran. One place is in Surah Waqi'ah, Surah number 76. Sorry, Surah number 56. Verses number 51 onward. ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ أَيُّهَا الضَّالُّونَ الْمُكَذِّبُونَ. Then indeed you astray deniers. لَآكِلُونَ مِنْ شَجَرٍ مِنْ زَقُّومٍ. Will surely eat from the Zaqqum tree. فَمَالِئُونَ مِنْهَا الْبُطُونَ. And stuff your bellies with it. It means that when you find this fruit or this plant, which has that ugly type of fruit, you will eat until you fill your bellies with it. However, that of course makes lots of thirst, a sense of thirst that urges you to go and drink from boiling water. فَشَارِبُونَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْحَمِيمِ. Upon that, or as a consequence of eating that fruit of Zaqqum, then you will go and drink boiling water on top of it. And of course, we are not forcing you to do that. You actually compete for that water to find it and to drink from it. فَشَارِبُونَ شُرْبَ الْهِيمِ. Drinking like thirsty camels. Now, drinking like thirsty camels means that, of course, after eating this food, a type of disgusting or very, very unpleasant feeling comes in your stomach, in whole your body, that you need to drink some water. Of course, there's nothing but hot water. And you drink that hot water like thirsty camels. They drink ordinary water. هَذَا نُزُلُهُمْ يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. Such will be the hospitality they receive on the day of retribution. Now, in another place, in Surah Dukhan, Surah number 44, there's a mention of this Zaqqum as well. verses number 43 onwards, Surah 44, verses number 43 onwards, إِنَّ شَجَرَةَ الزَّقُومِ تَعَامُ الْعَثِيمِ كَالْمُهْلِ يَغْلِي فِي الْبُطُونِ كَغَلِّي الْحَمِيمِ. Now, there's a description of that type of feeling that it gives in the stomach after they eat it, and that explains why they vie and they compete to go and find some boiling water to drink after it. Indeed, the tree of Zaqoom will be the food of the sinful. كَالْمُهْلِ يَغْلِي فِي الْبُطُونِ. Like molten copper, it will boil in the bellies. And then, of course, خُدُوهُ فَاعْتِلُوهُ إِلَىٰ سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ. Seize him and drag him to the middle of hell. ثُمَّ صُبُّ فَوْغَ رَأْسِهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْحَمِيمِ. Then pour over his head the punishment of boiling water. ذُقْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْكَرِيمُ. Taste, indeed, you are the self-styled, mighty, noble. Again, that's ironical language used, because this is for those arrogant people who always think that they are noble, they are mighty. Then the ironical language says that, okay, taste this. You are a noble person if you want to think like that. Now, of course, seize him and drag him to the middle of the hell here gives us the idea that they are freed for some time to go and eat and drink. And they, of course, couldn't find anything to eat and drink but these things. And after the time is over, they don't go back. The angels go and take them and bring them back to their cells, which is another type of punishment for them. And then in those cells, probably there are water pouring from everywhere, hot water. ثُمَّ صُبُّ فَوْغَ رَأْسِهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْحَمِيمِ. That water comes on their heads, the hot water, مِنْ عَذَابِ الْحَمِيمِ. This is another place in which شَشَرَةُ الزَّقُومِ is mentioned. And in Surah Safat, just the surah before Surah Sa'd, Surah number 37, there is some more explanation about this. Now, there is a description of what people of paradise enjoy from. How they have a conversation with the people of the hell, and the type of psychological comfort that they have. أَفَمَا نَحْنُ بَمَيِّتِينَ. After they think about all those ni'mah that Allah has given them, they ask each other, is it true that we shall not die at all, and we will persist forever? We will be perpetual here. أَفَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَيِّتِينَ إِلَّا مَوْتَتَنَا الْأُولَى. Aside from our first death, of course, this first death, since the kuffar were saying that it's only the first death, there is nothing after that. Then Allah says that, of course, لَا يَذُغُونَ فِيهَا الْمَوْتَ إِلَّا الْمَوْتَةَ الْأُولَى. There is only that first death. There is no death after that. And here they say, is it not really anything but that first death that we have? وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُعَذَّبِينَ إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. This is indeed the great success. Now, لَمَثْلَ هَذَا فَلْيَعْمَلِ الْآمَنُ. Let all those who work for the like of this. If they don't want to work for the like of this, then let me tell you what type of destiny is awaiting them. أَذَلَكَ خَيْرٌ نُزُولًا. Is this a better hospitality? أَمْ شَجَرَةُ الزَّقُومِ, or the Zaqoom tree? إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاهَا فِتْنَةً لِلظَّالِمِينَ. Indeed, we have made it a punishment for the wrongdoers. Fitnatan. It's food. But it's food and it's fitna. The calamity of them is that they have to eat from it. There is no other type of food to eat. Just you can think, on this earth, we have some type of food that we can eat. There's no other type of food. We cannot imagine what type of delicious foods are there that's in paradise. That's when we think about the food we eat here, we say, well, we were just eating rubbish, for example, in the previous world. Now, they can imagine lots of good foods in the hell, because they have a memory of good foods they were eating here. But, of course, this is the only food that they have there, and it is a food and a fitna, and a punishment and a trial for them. Inna ja'alnaha fitnatan lil-zalimin. Indeed, we have made it a punishment for the wrongdoers. What is this food? What is this tree? Innaha shajaratun takhruju fi asli al-jahim. This is indeed, it's a tree that emerges from the depths of hell. That might mean that in every compartment of hell, and, or at every level of hell, from the very bottommost to the upper, you can find this, the fruits of this tree. Because if it can emerge and it can explode from the bottom of the hell, which is the hottest, which is the most arid and the most barren place in hell, then it can come in higher and upper places as well. إِنَّهَا شَجَرَةٌ تَخْرُجُ فِي أَسْلِ الْجَحِيمِ. Or there is another possibility that this is only for those very, very, very arrogant who go to أَسْلِ الْجَحِيمِ, not other compartments. In other compartments, there are zari and other types of food which are mentioned. This is for real, real arrogant people. إِنَّهَا شَجَرَةٌ تَخْرُجُ فِي أَسْلِ الْجَحِيمِ طَلْعُهَا كَأَنَّهُ رُؤُوسُ الشَّيَاطِينِ. Its blossoms, its buds are as if they were devil's heads. Now, of course, usually for every tree, the buds, the blossoms are the most beautiful outcome of that tree. Here it says that very beautiful face of the fruit is like Ru'usu Shayatin. Now, of course, Ru'usu Shayatin, Ra'asu Shaytan, something which is very disgusting, very ugly, something which is hated the most in Arabic language is called Ra'asu Shaytan, head of Shaytan. Now, because of course we think Shaytan is from jinn and the jinn are very ugly, and that line, this is why this phrase or this expression was made for anything which is very ugly, very disgusting, to be Ra'asu Shaytan. And also there's another meaning for this, because the most hated creatures and the most hated companies in the hell for human beings are the shayateen, which are with them. Of course, both of them are evil. The human being is evil, the shaitan is evil, and they are put together. But the most hated creatures in the hell for human beings are the shayateen who deceive them. And imagine they have to eat from a fruit which is like Ra'asu Shayateen. طَلْعُهَا كَأَنَّهُ رُؤُوسُ الشَّيَاطِينَ فَإِنَّهُمْ لَآكَلُونَ مِنْهَا. Indeed, they will eat from it. It means that we do not force them to eat from it, but they will eat from it themselves. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَآكَلُونَ مِنْهَا فَمَالِئُونَ مِنْهَا الْبُطُونَ. And gorge with it their bellies. Because, again, the more they eat, the more hungry they feel. And they have to fill their bellies to the brink to stop. Otherwise, they would not stop. ثُمَّ إِنَّ لَهُمْ عَلَيْهَا لَشَوْبًا مِنْ حَمِيمٍ. Indeed, on top of that, they will take a solution of scalding water. For the solution for the type of fiery feeling that it gives them, like the melting copper which starts to boil in the bellies. لَشَوْبًا مِنْ حَمِيمٍ ثُمَّ إِنَّ مَرْجَعَهُمْ لَإِلَى الْجَحِيمِ. Then indeed their retreat will be towards hell, towards their own selves, which is the Jahim place. إِنَّهُمْ أَلْفَوْا أَبَعَهُمْ ظَالِينَ. Then it's explained why they have to eat from this, why they undergo such a torment. Now, the verse here, of course, mentions this, let them taste it, scalding water and pus, and other kinds of torments resembling it, or other kinds of food resembling it, which of course is an allusion to shajaratu zaqum, to zari, to probably other different types of food that they can find there and they have to eat. This is just a picture, of course, an overview of the type of physical life, their food, their drink that they have there. Then, of course, spiritually, you can imagine people might console each other in such very hard situations. People need some sort of brotherly affection in hardships and difficulties. However, this is what they never can find in hell. They always curse each other whenever they see each other. And this, the next verse is mentioning just a picture of how they feel towards each other. هَذَا فَوْجٌ مُقْتَحِمٌ مَعَكُمْ. Now, people who would go to hell group after group, group after group, and of course in different, from different gates to different places of the hell, there is an argument always going on between the angels which are in the hell and the people who are tortured by them or who are guarded by them in a way. There are guards there. And in two surahs in the Quran, it's mentioned that sometimes they try to flee and escape. They even don't know where they want to escape. They just go to the boundaries of the hell somehow to go out. In Surah Hajj, for example, it is mentioned that كُلَّمَا عَرَادُوا أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ غَمٍ أُعِيدُوا فِيهَا. When the distress becomes very, very saturated and very great in them, then despite all the repercussions and punishments that it follows, they try to just run away and escape. And maybe those escape times come when they are released from their cells to come and find some food and eat something. And that's the best, probably, opportunity for them to run away. And of course, then the repercussions are so grave that they wouldn't think about it unless the distress is intolerable for them. Because the surah says, the verse says, كُلَّمَا عَرَادُوا أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ غَمٍ. Out of gham, out of real distraught and distress, they want to flee and go. وَإِيدُوا فِيهَا. Then these guards would take them and bring them back and punish them for that. And again, they have no one to comfort them for those punishments, no one to encourage them or no one to commend them for what they do. Everyone blames them rather than commending them. And here, the guards, as I said, there is a continuous argument between them and the guards, those angels which are made in that way to be merciless, in a sense, and have no affection and do whatever their Lord tells them to do. Now, here, when another group of people come in, they start to curse them. Why have you brought them here? We don't like them to be here. They are cursed, disgusting people. And the angels say, هذا فوج مقتحم معكم. This is a group plunging into hell along with you, because they had the same actions as you. And they reply, لا مرحبا بهم. May wretchedness be their lot. Why have they come here? Why have they come to restrict our places, make our places tight here? إنهم صالوا النار. They will indeed enter the fire, the angels reply. They will indeed enter the fire. They have to come here. Now, as soon as those who are entered after the first group hear what they say, هذا فوج, they say, لا مرحبا بهم, may wretchedness be their lot, they start to reply. You see, as soon as these new guests come, quarrels, arguments, and fights start. They say, those who are entered, قالوا بل أنتم لا مرحبا بكم. They say, rather, may wretchedness be your lot. أنتم قدمتموه لنا. You prepared this hell for us. That means those people who are deceived come after those people who had deceived them. They are already there. They are taken before others. And this is, of course, a logical understanding, because people who deceive others, they deserve to be there before them, to be given the VIP places in hell, and then the others will come after them. You prepared this hell for us. What an evil about. And then they start to argue and argue. They say, no, we did not do this. You yourself were mischievous people. And they say, no, you came and told, whispered to us what we have to do, how we have to disobey our Lord. And eventually, again, they resort to the Lord. After days and days of fighting, they get tired. And they say, قَالُوا رَبَّنَا مَنْ قَدَّمَ لَنَا هَذَا فَزِدْهُ عَذَابًا ضِعْفًا فِي النَّارِ. They say, our Lord, whoever has prepared this for us, in a way they seek an arbiter in the Lord. And they say, whoever has prepared this for us, double his punishment in the fire. Now, of course, this is about تَخَاصُمُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, which is mentioned in the Quran. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَحَقٌ. Here in the following verses it mentions, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَحَقٌ تَخَاصُمُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. That is indeed the truth, the contentions of the inmates of the fire, which is a long story with different pictures about it given in the Quran, and inshallah we will explore this in our next session. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ.
Thank you very much indeed, Sheikh. You've given us a chill down the spine now.
Now, this is not for you, of course. This is for...
Now, who knows?
Disbeliever, arrogance. Yeah.
Okay, brothers, sisters, I hope you have something to say. Riyadh? I thought so. Sir Franz, or sisters? Sisters, yes, please take the mic.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam.
I just wanted to ask about Surah Baqarah. There's mentioned that some people will be the fuel of the hellfire.
Yes.
Could you sort of say a bit more about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. فَاتَّقُوا نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ. Fear a fire which the fuel of it would be people and stones, rocks. Now, this is about those people who take themselves to be the Lord of others. And they wanted, and this was very, very common in the past. It's common now, of course, in different sense. And that is when someone wanted people to worship him. And people did worship them, as they worshipped idols. Idols, of course, mainly were made out of rocks and hijara. And people like Pharaoh, like many others, who wanted to be worshipped. And nowadays, of course, as I said, there is a different shape and different form of that. These are the real fuel of the hell. And, well, what type of torment is that? It's very difficult to realize and to understand. But their situation will be different from ordinary people. There's another explanation for this. And that is your idols that you worship and your souls, nas, the people, the soul of the people who have worshipped those idols, worshipped anything beside Allah, they will be the fuel of the hell. In a sense, whatever your soul has acquired is the fuel of the hell. And that's why we can say that the fuel of the hell are people themselves and those rocks which have deceived them. Two meanings for that.
Okay, Ali?
You know the heaven and hell part, does that just apply to those people who came after Prophet Adam, or does that include people who came before him as well?
We don't know anything about those people, and we don't know what happens to them or what has happened to them by now. We don't know whether they existed or not. We have some allusions to that in our traditions. But certainly what is mentioned here is about us, Banu Adam. This is what Allah has destined for us, Banu Adam. Maybe there are other creatures, other destinations for them, other type of destinies for them, or maybe there have been other species of human beings on this earth or on other planets which might have the same destiny as we have. These are the things that we really don't know. And it is not really our concern very much. Our concern is about ourselves, Banu Adam, the children of Adam, which are, of course, the addressee of the Quran and about others. We have some traditions. We say that they were living, and they had the same destiny as you have,
sisters. No? Manzu.
In other way, you explain that in the hell, the people will not be satisfied no matter how much they eat, how much they drink. Is this something which is a continuation from this life, that a person who is not grateful is always doing na shukr, and whatever you give him, whatever he gets, he's not happy with it. He wants more and more. And the other aspect you mentioned is about the animosity between the people. Nobody tolerates the other person. He can't give space to the other person, and they want to run away from each other. This is a continuation from this world, that person who has that sort of mentality, he cannot accept. And that it increases in the hell, like as you explained in the other previously about the about Jannat. The people are more friendly. And the way they are here, it's the intensity is more over there. Is this something similar, that the continuation from this life to the next life, but more intense? Is this the right way of understanding the situation?
Exactly. About the day of judgments in very different places of the Quran, many different places of the Quran, we are told that you come there, that Allah informs you of what you were doing. ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. He will inform you what you were doing. And that information is not a verbal information, that God tells us what you, or a written information, a book given to us, that this is what you were doing. In a way, we see the meanings or the manifestation of what we were doing in this world, in terms of good or evil. And whatever we see there is a manifestation of the attitudes we had here, whether in paradise or in the hell. And of course, forgiveness is something which, if it was not there, people of paradise would have seen the same thing as people of the hell, but forgiveness have covered that for them. And all these punishments we have to bear in mind, it's not for revenge. Allah doesn't want to, He doesn't take revenge from very pitiful human beings, servants and creatures. It's just to make them aware of what they were doing, and somehow to bring them back to mind, to their minds, that you have to come out of this attitude. And that's why we say that some people come out of hell eventually, because after all these torments and these difficulties, they start to think. Now, of course, the way it's explained here, this is a phase when they are not thinking still. They just think there is no way out of it. And they have to be like that. And it's just like the attitude of some Western powers, I say. Let's get political now. You see, they don't think that it is possible to deal with other people who are weaker than them with respect and with honor. They have to always dictate authoritatively what they want. And that's the calamity that is bringing the whole world into a crisis. Now, they never think that there could be another approach, unless and until there is a devastating type of calamity coming. Then they start to rethink that, yes, our approach has been wrong. We have to take another approach. Now, the people in the hell would be the same for ages and ages and ages. They don't think that there is any other way of thinking. There's any other way of talking to God. They always think that if they want to talk to God, they have to deceive Him. And all the things that they say in hell to God is a sort of deception. They just want to lie to God so that they get out of that place and then go back to what they were doing. Until after probably several millions of years, they start to rethink that, no, our approach has been wrong. We have to think in a different way about our Lord. And then they start to come up. And therefore, these punishments, as you say, are manifestations of what they were doing, and are, in a way, in new information they are receiving to bring them to their minds. And eventually, probably majority of them would come out after, of course, atonement, which even 1 minute of it is too much. I mean, you cannot imagine. We live here for 60, 70 years, and we really, really cannot tolerate. We are so weak that we cannot tolerate the slightest difficulty, whether physical, psychological, or spiritual. And it's not imaginable to live in hell for 1 year, let alone for millions of years.
Do you want to add something, Manzu? Sisters? Sheikh, after listening to the previous few lectures on the description of heaven, all that, a question came to my mind, maybe a silly question, but we discussed that in heaven, whatever we wished, we'll be able to experience or get. But there is, seems to be one exception to that. And that exception, what I think, is that discussing from a last lecture that the huris will be able to see their mates and vice versa, and nobody else will be able to see the other huris. So even if somebody wished that he wanted to see the other huris...
That's an evil wish. No, you will never, you will never have an evil wish, no.
Oh, is that the reason?
Of course.
No, but we can't have an evil... Even if you wanted to look at the other huris, not having an evil wish, can we not?
No, this is an evil wish. No. Not granted. No, well, of course, people with evil wish will not be taken to paradise. So...
Okay. Sisters or brothers, anybody? No? Seems that you've really given us a chill down. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay,
Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad Salawat.
Inshallah, 2 weeks. Allahumma salam.
Inshallah, 2 weeks, which is what, 15th of April? Or? 20.